All right, folks, welcome back to yet another episode of A Fresh Juice, an indie game podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Tommy Fresh, and joined as always, it is...
Maddie Juice. I'm in a cave this episode. I'm in a cave.
we'll fix it in post. how's it going? We got a great episode for you all this week. We both were away for my bachelor party, actually, this past weekend. Which was a ton of fun, but we got to play some great couch games, and we figured, you know what? We didn't have a lot of time to play something new. Let's tell the world about some great couch co-op games. If you got like a Switch, or maybe you have like a pretty cool setup on another console, and it's going to be a good time. Those games are, you're going to have to stay tuned, folks. You have to stay tuned to find out, but... What's going on? How you doing? What's new? I mean, obviously, we spent like the last like 5 days together. So.
Yeah, you pretty much are up to date with everything I think I've been doing lately. For this week, looking forward to obviously Rings of Power coming back. Mm-hmm. Should be fun. And then right around the corner, we got football season. So excited about that as well. And nothing really new has been going on. Just been kind of recharging since the trip, relaxing a bit. Yesterday was my birthday, so just kind of relaxed, chilled. I'm going out to dinner tonight with my parents, so should be good. And but other than that, I mean, nothing new really. You know, I had a good time in the Catskills. You know, that's where we were, in case the listeners are trying to locate us. Did some hiking, some moderate hiking, saw some great views, and had some breast milk, and it was great. It was a good time, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was just a ball of fun. No, it was a great weekend, and, you know, let's all wish Maddie a happy birthday together. Ready? Everybody together, say it at your phone screens or however you listen to the podcast. Happy birthday, Maddie. Wow, that was great, guys. That was so good. I could just feel the energy. But it was a good weekend. The hike was funny. Matt got to experience his first All Trails moment. So All Trails, for those who don't know, is an app that will like list different trails that you can find. And it's not... I should say, I was going to say it's not always accurate. It's almost never accurate. There's always something off about these trails. I mean, it's a really great resource, right? You eventually find the trail. It's just, you know, people like this one said moderate. And then we're like, oh, it seemed pretty flat in the beginning. And then it got really steep. So, all right, this is maybe moderate. So we were, you know, getting a workout. And then like it was all overgrown at the top, which I thought was cool. It felt like we were being kids again, just like going through the woods. We just couldn't find the view that apparently was supposed to be there. But that's all good. It's not the view. It's the journey, as I've always said. And, All Trails is interesting. And our phones are definitely listening to us because I got fed an All Trails meme with 300 likes right after on my phone. So that was a good time. We played video games, played volleyball, ramp shot. Bunch of yard games and stuff like that. It was a good time. Drank some booze, relaxed. Yeah. It was a good weekend away. I'm feeling good. Well, my body's feeling sore, but that is okay.
And that was like one of the coolest Airbnbs I think I've been at, and it had like a waterfall on the property, which was dope. Yeah, you know, just and that also made me feel like kids again, just walking down like that creek. Just like poking stuff with sticks, you know? So that was cool. Yeah, that was definitely a cool spot and better than I thought it was going to be. It's always hard to tell in the Airbnb pictures, like how great, you know, it's going to be. Yeah. So that one I definitely want to go back to. So
it's like All Trails, like any of these like user based kind of things, like, yeah, okay, maybe it's 4.5 stars. What does that really mean? Like, is it a bunch of 5 stars and then a bunch of 1 stars like to bring it down to the 4.5? You never know. So, no, it was awesome. It was really cool. So hopefully get back up there at some point. But we do have a lot of news this week. First of all, Fresh Juice Discord, please check it out. It's in the show notes. You get to hang out. You get to get crazy. You get wild. You get nuts. Yeah. It's a good time.
Yeah. But, and that's also a great spot to do the listener questions for later in the episode, which You guys are awesome. You just post those questions in there on the days you know we're recording. We don't even have to say anything, I feel like, anymore. I checked this morning. I was like, oh, my God, there's like already three questions in here. This is great. So you guys are on the ball.
We got them trained. Yeah. We got these juices trained, man. But in terms of other news, there was an Indie World Showcase this morning, I guess, that we were recording, which is like, was a pleasant surprise. So a couple games were revealed. The only one of these, well, I know Peglin. I have Peglin on my phone. This is all stuff coming to Switch. And then I had heard of Europa. I guess the dev was a former Blizzard employee that quit Blizzard to just like finish this game. What's the deal with these games, Matt?
Yeah, honestly, the biggest highlight for me is this game called Morsels that I have never seen before. It's classified as an oddball top-down roguelike with a rotating roster of little monsters you switch between as you play multiple runs. Oh. This is coming to the Switch in February 2025. The art style looks super cool. It's kind of this like retro, like old school, like TV with those like what scan lines, whatever you want to call it. Kind of this like almost like this like 90s feel of sort of these like weird sort of cartoons, like maybe like late night Adult Swim weird sort of stuff going on. And I don't know, it just seemed really like it had a lot of character, had a lot of flavor to it, and the gameplay just seems super fluid. So this one is probably the one I'm like most excited for is this game Morsels. I definitely recommend you go check it out. It'll be in the show notes as well. Like I'll link, you know, a little tweet about it with a little bit of gameplay if you're interested, but I think this one would be a great one for the show, you know, come February.
Oh yeah. We're going to have to bookmark that. That looks amazing. And yeah, it almost, maybe this is like a new art style where we kind of get that, you know, whatever the scan lines thing, like Animal Well had that similar vibe. This is obviously different artistically, but, yeah, and then this Neva game looks pretty I mean absolutely looks gorgeous, which should be pretty interesting. But Peglin's a fun game. Peglin is a very fun game. If you've never played it, you are basically playing pachinko. It's roguelike pachinko where the different things that you're shooting have different abilities and stuff like that, and it's a addicting game, I will say. So it's very cool. It's coming to Switch right before Switch 2, you know, just in time. You know, they like to keep it relevant. And then, yeah, this Europa game does look absolutely stunning as well. I'm very interested to see.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, no, you go ahead.
I was going to say, yeah, it's kind of got like this like Breath of the Wild art style, third person sort of adventure sort of stuff going on with like puzzles, which is always an interest for me, you know. And I know for that Neva game, that's also, I think it's from the creators of Gris, which had a big cult following and also was like a beautiful game. So excited to check that one out as well at some point, just because, you know, it just looks like a sight to see. And then I also did list some other games, not in our show notes doc, but just some other ones. Like Pico Park 2 is coming to Switch. It's actually a timed exclusive coming later today.
Oh, wow.
As well as Peglin. Peglin's coming timed exclusive on the Switch, releasing later today. But I guess it's already available on mobile from what you've played. So I guess it's a console exclusive temporarily on the Switch.
Mm-hmm,
but yeah, Pico Park 2 is a really fun kind of, you know, I played it on Steam before. It's just like this silly little kind of party game where you're like a you can play with like up to 8 players. It's kind of like a platformer. You're trying to like complete these puzzles while like all of your characters are sort of like tied together, basically. So that's fun. And then another one that jumped out as well is this game called Date Everything. This is not a game I will be playing. It's one of those dating sim games, but it's a dating sim game where you can date everything. So like if you want to date a lamp, like you can date a lamp in the game, and like the lamp is like a personified, you know, it's been personified as like a character with like lights on it. If you want to date the game itself, they have like a chat dialogue thing that you can date. If you want to, even like they have like a, you can date like your crippling depression as well, which is like a character. His name is Doug or something. it's like ridiculous. So it was kind of funny. Like it was almost like a parody on dating games, but like it's an actual dating game called Date Everything. So just noted that down just because it looked ridiculous. So yeah, if you're into dating sims, that one seems like, you know, if you're really desperate, you don't have, you know, maybe the dating sims, like it's just not working out for you and you just want to try to date anything. You should date everything.
Well, so, why the heck not, right? You know, yeah. Listen, I believe that you should date. You should always date everything, actually. No, that does seem cool. I mean, probably not my type of game either. But I do got to say the biggest exciting thing announced here is Baltro. Free update coming to the Switch today, I believe. And then probably everything else eventually later, where it's featuring The Witcher 3, Vampire Survivors and Among Us, and Dave the Diver, I believe, as well, where I guess it's like just cosmetic update. I was going to play the video, but I stopped earlier, and then I was going to play it again. I was like, oh, well, I don't want the sound coming through. But it looks like you can have all those themes as your cards.
Yeah, I guess so. Like it's called the Friends of Jimbo update. And in this article here, it says it adds a mix of new cards and card appearances. So I don't know if it's new Jokers or what's going on there, but I guess it's a free update. Yeah, coming later today to the Switch and then apparently to all platforms probably shortly. But they also did tease, there's like a Joker at the end that just says like, that will do for now. So I imagine there's more collaborations coming, which is really cool. Like I didn't really think like Baltro was going to go like in this direction with like these crossovers, but it makes sense, you know?
Yeah. I don't know if we covered it last week, but Baltro also is collabing in other games now. Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, Wild Frost had already had a Baltro collab, but now I think you can play Baltro in Dave the Diver.
Oh, really?
Like you can go to like a shop or something like that and play the Baltro on like something, which is like crazy. It was either that or a different game, but that came out last week. But hey, listen, I mean, Baltro is like the perfect kind of game to do this because it's so unique within its own thing. And it's a poker thing, so it's easy to apply this to anything and also apply a lot of other things to this. I mean, just looking at the cards that for The Witcher, right? You got Geralt as the king and then the bard is the jack and stuff like that. And I forget what the name of the...
Yennefer.
Yennefer the queen there. So, yeah, I'm interested. I'll be playing that later tonight on the Switch, I guess, to see what it's all about, but I'm pretty excited. Now, we got to talk about some couch games, Matt.
Yeah, we do.
About some couch games. First couch game that we honestly have had a lot of fun with for a very long time, and it is Boomerang Foo. Now, we cannot recommend this game enough. This is developed and published by Cranky Watermelon, or Watermelon, depending on who you're talking to. And it was originally released in August 13th, 2020. And really, was it that? I thought it might have been earlier. But yeah, so originally released in August 13th, 2020. It's $14.99 on all consoles and Steam. I think we play this primarily on Switch. You know, this is just a freaking fun party game, right? You can have up to, is it 8 players or 6? I guess on Switch you could have like 8 players, right?
Yeah, I think it's 8, yeah.
Yeah, with all the Joy-Cons and stuff like that. So yeah. Pretty simple game. You're running around, you go into this like arena. Everybody's a different fruit or vegetable or coffee or something like that. A different animal, food type character, whatever. And you have a boomerang. And you can slice with the boomerang, and you can throw the boomerang. And it always comes back to you, and if it hits something, you're going to have to like hold the throw button to like call it back to you. And then there's also just power-ups and stuff like that. And that's pretty much it. I mean, the main game mode is kind of... Both these games are going to have the similar main game mode where you play these rounds, and every time, you know, there's a last man standing, it counts up the different kills, and then whoever gets the most amount of or the specific amount of kills first over the X amount of rounds will win. And it's just fun. It's just a great time. It's like has a lot of excellent moments. Now, the one thing about this game, the only negative thing I will say about Boomerang Foo in the gameplay is sometimes people get goated, like power up combos.
Yeah,
and like there's a power up where you throw your boomerang, and at the end of how far it was going to go before it comes back, it explodes into like five different boomerangs that like shoot out, right? Very, very cool. Now, you can combine that with explosive boomerangs. So you throw that, and then it blows up into five other boomerangs, and they all blow up. So it like creates this like huge area where it's like almost impossible to dodge or something like that. So, you know, that's the only negative thing. But there's also, like, I guess some bad combos. Like, you can also go in and change any of the stuff in the like modifiers and stuff like that. But overall, it's just like a great game, a lot of fun. Only like three buttons that you got to worry about, and once people get the hang of it, they're just like kind of locked in. So,
yeah.
What do you think about Boomerang Foo yourself? Because you know I think we played originally together, but I've definitely played a lot with like you know my friend Pat and Will and Dan a lot. Mostly.
Yeah, no, it's, I mean, I love it. It's like exactly what I look for when it comes to like a couch party game where like it's not super complicated, you know, like even, you know, I played with Maria before and, you know, she's someone that, you know, she's not gaming all the time or whatever. And she picked it up pretty quickly and she loves playing Boomerang Foo. It's also kind of got this like cute aesthetic to it, right? So like it's just very like pleasing on the eye. And yeah, I love not only like the, you know, the different characters and they have like, you know, the way that you actually kill the characters, it changes visually, right? Like you know, if I always play the milk carton. So whenever the milk carton dies, it just kind of cuts in half and spills out. Like it's got all this little character there, but I also love like the map design too. Every time you're going into a different map, I can't tell you how many times I've died to the map. Because someone hits a switch and it like shifts over like a giant block of something and I get squished, or like I just accidentally run into like some water and end up dying. So I really like the map design in the game too. And I think that's like super important for just making sure it doesn't seem too like stale, right? You know, the next game we'll talk about, I feel like it has great map design, but it's not as you know, varied as like Boomerang Foo. Like, it's like almost every single level that you're going into in Boomerang Foo is like different. So I really enjoy that about it. And yeah, it creates these like great moments of like, you know, especially when it's like 1v1, you know, like we're kind of watching right now on the YouTube version of the show where like everyone's watching and it's just like, what's going to happen? Because it's kind of got like these almost like wonky physics sometimes, right? Where you're like sliding on ice or like, even just like the way you're throwing your boomerang, it can bounce off stuff. So it can create these like really exciting moments where everyone's like, oh, you know, like you kind of think maybe someone's pinned up against the wall, like they don't really have a shot. Maybe they don't have their boomerang with them, but then they figure out something. They kick. I think you can kick without your boomerang too, or something like that.
Punch or something like
that. Punch. Yeah. And then yeah, there's also, you know, those power ups you can get. One of them that I always think is really OP is. It, I guess a lot of stuff is related to that like multi boomerang thing you were mentioning, but that plus like the telekinesis where like you can control where you're putting your boomerang, but then you have like five or six of them, you can just like move all over the map and just like slice and dice. That's always, you know, pretty OP as well. But it just has such great interactions and moments, and the matches are really quick. And it's also like one of those games where like, yeah, if you're playing with eight people, like the swings that can happen are huge, right? Mm-hmm. Like maybe you get five kills in a game and all of a sudden like you're way ahead of everybody else, but then someone else the next game, you know, maybe kills everybody, right? Like you don't know. And so, yeah, I just really enjoy like those moments in the game. And then what was the other thing I was going to bring up with Boomerang Foo? One of the power-ups is Disguise, where once you stop moving, you just turn into like a random object, like a box or a tree or something like that. That's in the world. And that's great when you're playing with so many people, because if you get that early, you can just sit there and people will forget about you. And then all of a sudden, like, I know our cousin Dan likes to do that. Danny Tugs. He does that quite a bit. And like, it's always funny. Like this is never one of those games to me where, you know, sometimes party games, couch party games, like there's certain ones where like eventually you're going to get frustrated. You're like, this is like, you know, this is just ridiculous. You know, like if something keeps happening, this one has such a great balance where like I never get frustrated playing either of these games that we're going to talk about today. But especially like Boomerang Foo, it's always just a blast. So I love it. It's honestly something I need to pick up. I really do wish it had online, at least for like Steam. I think it would just be fun to be like, hey guys, like let's all hop on and do some foo, you know? Yeah. But it is only local co-op, which is also great. You know, that's obviously what we're talking about today is these couch party games. So not knocking it for that in any way, but it's so much fun. Now, do you know, are there like expansions for this or DLCs for this?
Yeah, so I believe they... I don't know if it's really like there's DLC, and I'll have to just double check, but because I know there was like a grilling one or whatever. I don't know if it was like new characters or what. I don't think I've bought it yet, but let me see here.
Check it out, you know.
We're gonna check
it out. We're doing the live research, folks.
The grilling spree update, which let's see. Let's view DLC. There's the Just Desserts update. It came out this year, actually.
Oh.
That was a DLC. So, includes 21 new maps, 4 exclusive characters. Chocolate, jello, grapes, and salt and pepper. Not exactly a dessert. Inflammatory here, and then that's only $5 on the Switch. So like, I want to know what the grilling spree was.
The grilling spree, 21 new maps is pretty exciting as well, because that's like, you know, like I said, the map variety is great. I mean, if you're watching the YouTube stream, you can pretty much see almost every time they're playing here, there's different sort of mechanics on each map. This one's got a mode around it, which I don't know if I've actually played this one. This might be one of the newer ones perhaps, but adding 21 new maps is just, even if there weren't any new characters, which there's no difference, by the way, between the characters. I don't know if we mentioned that. Like, it's just aesthetic for aesthetic reasons. So the maps, that's pretty cool. But yeah, you got an update on Just Grillin'?
Yeah, I guess this was was an update. I guess it was a regular update. It wasn't even DLC, but it added unlockable outfits. This was in 2021, so I must have already had this because it has added 6 new arenas, hot sauce, which I know I have that, and burger as playable characters. So it was a big fix, but I guess the others were just DLC, you know, which I should probably look at because that seems like a pretty good DLC. So this game is like a ton of fun, though. Aesthetics wise, you know, you touched on it, super cutesy, but like honestly just perfect for this to be pretty accessible for everybody. The soundtrack, I mean, it's awesome. It's got this like boom, just like doing that the whole time, and like you would think it would get annoying, and maybe like after you like accidentally leave it on for a while it will, but it doesn't really. Like while you're playing, you're just like, it gets you in the mode for freaking slicing and dicing. And you know, it's a banging game. It really is. If you're hanging out with a bunch of buds, check out this game. It's just a really good time.
Yeah, I remember the first time I played it when you showed it to me, and like before I knew about the game, you're like, "Oh, Boomerang Foo." I'm like, "What the hell is Boomerang Foo?" You know. And then we play it, man. And yeah, this thing's something special. I would love to see this as like a permanent booth at PAX.
Yeah.
I just think that's like, it's like such a great game for just introducing people to just couch party games and just showing, like, it's like one of the top tier ones in my opinion. Like, I just have so much fun playing Boomerang Foo. So yeah, maybe you know, I am seeing here that it does have remote play together over Steam, which I know is kind of their way to do online. So who knows? Maybe with the Juice Heads, we can maybe Boomerang Foo will go on like a bundle sale, and we can play with the Juice Heads or something like that. That'd be fun.
That'd be pretty sick. Now, the next game we're going to talk about, we've talked about before. We discovered this at PAX East this past year, 2024, and it is, honestly, it is has been so much fun. It is Astro Duel 2. This is going to be, like, go down as one of my favorite couch co-op, not co-op games, couch, like, play party game of all time. I truly believe it. It is just so much fun. You get to do, it's like such a addicting combination of two styles of kind of classic video game. This kind of platformer brawler, like Super Smash Bros. Or whatever, or even at times it feels like Joust, right?
Yeah.
And then Asteroids, which, you know, if anybody knows Asteroids, just you're just a ship flying around in the kind of space graphic or physics and shooting asteroids, but now you're shooting each other, and they do the elegant thing of just creating. You would think this game could have had like 20 plus different kinds of ships to choose, but they just did three different ships, and they created the perfect rock, paper, scissors of like the balancing of like which ship is good to the other ship with like obviously a lot of variance in terms of items you find, and then also the regular the brawling point of the game. Like you can get an edge there as well if, like, perhaps, you know, your ship is maybe a little bit weakened to the other ship, but it's not like a complete 100% to zero matchup, right? It's probably like 60-40 for everybody. So like you got three ships, you got the Drill, the Phoenix, and the Heavy. So the Phoenix, they each have one special move. Phoenix just does a little reflecting shield. It's very annoying. Matt is very, very good at playing with the Phoenix. And basically it reflects anything for like whatever, however long the duration is. It's probably like a half a second or something like that. Yeah, so you got to time it. And it does have to recharge and stuff like that. And then there's the Drill. The Drill is kind of more your fast aggro ship. Its special is it drills at someone, and like in that drill moment, you're kind of invincible, and you're trying to do damage and hopefully kill your opponent. And then you have the Heavy. The Heavy sends like a big like laser ball that could either kill someone, or you press the same button again and you'll teleport to where that is. So that's basically it. You know, those are the three ships. But then you get to fly around. There's all these different kinds of items and really cool maps. I mean, I know you said that maybe the only problem with this is like currently, and this might be something that we didn't even look in the modifiers, to be honest, is that like once you choose a region, you're locked to that region for the whole match. So this is just like Boomerang Foo, where you play in rounds on the map. Last man standing, you know, that's when it ends, and you go to the next round, and however many kills people had, that's how many points they get, yada, yada, yada. That is, you know, you're kind of in one region. So, like, if you're looking at the one now, this one's, like, just in space, I believe. Mm-hmm. So you can choose different map areas where it's either just space, just gravity, so, like, when you're doing the brawling stuff, or you can do one that like has a gravity section in the middle, as well as going out into the sides to do the space battles or whatever. So it would be nice if you can get it completely random.
Yeah,
that would be really cool. Though that could exist. We just don't know, to be honest. But other than that, that's my only complaint about the game. But like the different regions are very, very cool. And
yeah.
You know, you have, and like one of my favorite things about the game also is like when you're playing, it has the Super Smash Bros. Effect where however much you play the game is how much you unlock things, right? X amount of matches will unlock something random, or you have to discover something. And you get these different regions that have like different kinds of different kinds of things going on. And it is, it's a great time. And like, there's these moments, like we were playing with my buddy Kurt over the weekend, and like, once he got it, once he understood, like, we were kind of like in trouble, because he was just like really sniping us. But just such a good game, so simple, whatever, pixel graphics, if you like them, you like them, if you don't, you don't. But this game really makes it so seamless, and even the brawling mechanics are great. You just have a laser sword, but you can pick up guns and stuff like that. It's just a blast, man.
Yeah, it's this game is awesome. I mean, just like the variety that you get with like each match. Whether you're, it's like maybe you're ending the match, like, you know, not in your ship, you know, maybe you're ending the match floating in space, not in your ship too, because that's something like, that can happen. Like, it's such a good time. There's definitely things about the game that I hope that they eventually add. I would love to see, you know, we talked about this, like, it would be awesome to play with like 12 players, right? Like giant kind of map. Like, that would be awesome. But I think the player count's still really good for what you can play. You know, you can do up to 6. And then, yeah, kind of having that variety, kind of what I was talking about with like the maps of like Boomerang Foo, is that like, I feel like the maps have a lot more influence in like the outcomes of each round. Mm-hmm. But you know, it does. There is influence in like Astro Duel 2 with the maps, like especially if you're playing like some of them. You know, like there's that solar flare map where like a solar flare goes off every now and then and will just destroy your ship. Or if you're not in your ship and you're out in space, it'll just kill you. So that sort of stuff can happen. But I would love to see, more. You know, maybe just like a little bit more variety with like maybe certain maps are like just in. You know, you're not in your ship at all. Like, and it would kind of like rotate between those within that kind of like planet that you choose. Because, I think you're right. I think when you choose a planet that's like, let's just say it's just, you know, in orbit or whatever, you're just going to be playing in your ships until the end of that kind of run. So it would be nice to kind of get a little bit more variety with that. But this game is just, it's just so much fun because of the different. You know, different than Boomerang Foo, because all those characters are the same, right? It's really relying on the power-ups. But because you can choose the different ships here, I mean, I obviously have a lot of fun playing with the Phoenix class with that, like, reflector shield, because people don't really expect it, you know? Like, they can get very aggressive. You started getting wise to it, too. Yeah. So you would just kind of, like, be like, I'm not going to drill into him anymore because he's just going to deflect it. But then I had to start trying to play around that. I'm like, all right, well, how am I going to get Tom now? If like, he's not going to let me deflect, I have to like try some other stuff. So, it's cool. Cause the strategies kind of change, you know, as you play. And then you also get into that, that kind of situation where I know like, your friend Kurt, you know, he started playing with the Phoenix as well. So then I had to start going like, okay, like he can deflect my shots. I haven't played against someone that can deflect my shots yet. So then I need to like redo my strategy. And he got me a good amount of times with it as well. So there's just so many great things about the game. I hope that they're at PAX next year. I would love to just like see if they have any updates to the game or just play it again at PAX. Like just playing it in a group is awesome. I also think just like aesthetically, I know it's like pixel art, but I love the way this game looks, like the depth of each like map you can even see right now. Like it just looks beautiful. You know, you kind of got like, these highlighted colors, and then you also have like these dark tone colors kind of in the background. It's kind of got this nice contrast going on. And you never really like, I never really like lose my ship or anything like that. I would love to see them add some sort of disguise thing. Maybe there's a bonus where you like disguise yourself as like a power up maybe, or something like that. I don't know. Something like that could be cool. There's definitely ideas for this game, because this one hasn't, you know, it came out in March. So it's still, you know, it's not like Boomerang Foo where they've had like a few updates or more time for updates. So I'm hoping they add more to this game. I love Astro Duel 2. I'm excited. I hope they do Astro Duel 3. I think that could be something really cool, right? Because the evolution, right, from what we know about the first Astro Duel is the first one was only ships. This one is ships and pilots as well. So you kind of have those two little areas of combat. So I'd love to see them just keep building on that. That's like the biggest thing with this game for me is like, I love playing it, but like, I'm just like, almost every time I play it, I'm like, oh man, like they should do this and they should do that. Like there's so much potential here with this game. And I'm really glad, you know, showing it to people like this weekend, you know, for the first time, like I think everybody like fell in love with it too. Oh, like, yeah. It was just, it's just something that like, once you get it, you're like, oh, this is something special. So I just hope that there's enough people out there that also recognize that for this game, so that it can have the opportunity to do more updates and maybe even come out with a sequel. Yeah, it's a great one.
Yeah, it was fun just seeing like our friend Bags, who actually sent us a question this week, kind of like lock in to do the gamer mode, kind of just lean up and just get ready. And then, you know, my buddy Will, who the first time he played, you know, we played in a different situation, so he wasn't ready to experience Astro Duel 2, but he came around on it big time, and that was just like a ton of fun. So just a banger of a game. And honestly, these two games, I don't think you can go wrong, you know, as we get older, right, and like you don't get a lot of opportunities to hang out with buds and stuff like that, like, you know, if you're just going to try to find something that you can all just do, you know, whether it's like just sitting down on the couch, maybe watching something or even just playing a game, like you want it to be really good. Right. So like these two, I think, are going to give you a lot of a great experience where like people are going to want to run it back to play it again when they lose. Right. That's like the biggest thing. Right. You're like, God, I know I could do better. Right. I want to play again. And both these games really do such a good job of doing that. But we're not really going to give them a rating because, I mean, I think we pretty much are saying these are certified fresh juices. You know, so like we definitely recommend them if you're looking for a party game, right? That's basically it. And these are good ones, folks. These are some spicy
games. Some of the best. Yeah. It's hard to think of better ones that are indie as well. You know, like I really can't think of like better ones that I would easily put above these two.
No, yeah, I mean the next closest would be Spider Heck for me, which I do like quite a bit, but and like maybe Plunder Panic, but we didn't even get a chance to play them because we were playing these ones so much, right?
Yeah.
So that just kind of goes to show how awesome these games are. So great job to both Cranky Watermelon and Rusty Moyer / Wild Rooster. Just bangers, hopefully, you know, and Astro Duel 3 or just a big content update would be freaking sick. So, Rusty, if you're out there, we love you. Please, we'll do anything. But, but that's going to do it for those games. But, you know, we do have some listener questions. Next week, I think we're going to play Crypt Custodian, a brand new Zelda-like that should be coming out, I think, this week. And, we'll be reviewing that one, actually. Now, we do have listener questions. You can submit these listener questions on the Fresh Juice Discord, of course.
Do it.
First one comes from K-More. Do you have a video game moment that scarred you for life?
Whew, that scarred me for life. I can't go outside anymore because of this video game moment. Let me think. I mean, I guess scarring would be something bad that happened, or would it be something? Okay. All right.
Yeah. Well, not bad. Like maybe like left like a really bad impression, like a scary moment or something like that. That's how I'm taking it. Or just like anything related to like really affected you.
Let me see.
In a more negative way.
Yeah. In a more negative way. I mean, you want to take this one first? I might have to think about this for a second.
Yeah. I remember the first time on Game Boy Color, I was playing Pokemon Blue, as I would be known to do quite often back in those days in the late 90s. And I remember the first time I played for a long time that day and forgot to save and the game shut off and I lost all my progress.
Oh my God.
It scarred my life so much that I like double save anytime I'm like double checking things. Still to this day, I'm just like, I can never let this happen again because that was just devastating. So yeah, it's gotta be that really, because it was brutal. Like, I don't play a lot of horror games because like, I know that could be like something, but this was like a like an external thing. Like I, damn it. So
yeah, I think for me, it would probably be a long time ago, back when I used to have a gamer tag, Freakazoid 7. That was my first gamer tag.
Oh, yeah.
On Xbox, and I was playing Gears of War 3, and they had a there was like a developer only like weapon skin you could get, and it looked super cool. It was like transparent, but it was like pixelated, so it just kind of looked like you were like blurry, like when you were holding like the guns and stuff. And I found, I don't know, some video saying of how you could get them, and when you weren't a developer and you had to like load your Xbox profile on your computer and like change a few of these settings, and then you could like load it back into your Xbox and then you would have it. And I did. And I, at that time, like I had played so much like Gears 3 and just Gears of War in general. I maybe, you know, I don't even know how many hours I had in the game. Then one day I logged on and I was banned, and I was just like, oh, like I just like, it was the first time that really had ever happened. And I was just like, what am I going to do? You know, like I tried to like plead with them. I was like, I didn't cheat. I just had weapon skins. But I learned my lesson there. You know, I just made another gamer tag. Life moved on. It really wasn't like a big deal, but it was just from now on, I'm just like, man, if there's ever like I'm not doing anything that is like kind of like sketchy, you know, like anything that's like gonna make like give me a little bit of a red flag with that sort of stuff. Anything that's gonna edit, I'm gonna edit this. Oh, it's just a little, you know, everyone on the internet's like, oh, it's like you'll be fine, you know, like you trust that guy on Reddit that says like he hasn't been banned, but then all of a sudden you get banned. So that's what happened with me. Yeah, I also had another account banned because I streamed another Gears of War game early.
Wait, I thought you said you learned your lesson.
Well, that was different. I didn't. Yeah, I guess I didn't learn my lesson. But that was like years later. But that was like an account that I didn't really care that got banned. But regardless, so I don't like when that happens when I get my account banned. So, you know.
Well, yeah. I mean, some people would just quit, right? You know.
Yeah.
Not you. You don't. You don't quit. You don't stop.
I don't quit.
It does remind me of a different one that's like actually in game. Was the first Fire Emblem that they released in English for the Game Boy Advance. Love that game and the sequel to it. But the first one I played so much of. And if you don't know how Fire Emblem works, you know, it's a tactical RPG, right? So you're going, you're grid based or whatever. But you get these characters throughout the story, right? And you have to choose your characters to send into battle. And, you know, sometimes you just rely on, you just like build up certain characters, right? You're just like, oh, this character is awesome. I want it to be on my team forever. It's like Pokemon or whatever. You know, it's like, yeah. I don't care that Beedrill sucks. I want Beedrill to be the best, right?
Yeah.
But like, there was a character in the game called Hawkeye. Big, buff, no shirt dude. With a giant scar on his eye, I believe. It's just like, would carry a giant axe. Super cool. Pretty OP, to be honest. Like, when you first get him. But, like, the game scales pretty quickly. So, if you don't level him up, yada, yada, yada. He does, like, he's not strong enough. So, in Fire Emblem, if a character on your team dies in battle, you don't get him for the rest of the story. They're dead.
Yeah.
They have permadeath. Unless your main character dies. And then you have to restart that level, I believe. And then, you know, whatever. So I had Hawkeye. I had built him up so much. And then I made a tactical error, like, the last two chapters before, like, the finale. That, like, I didn't even think. And he died, like, right away.
My God.
And I was like, no, that was my whole strategy for the whole game. And I couldn't beat the end of the game. So I had to restart. I was like, oh.
God. Oh my God. Jesus.
Fire Emblem though, man. Great. Great game. Great game. Not a huge fan of all the characters being in Smash, but the ones on Game Boy Advance, those rocked. So
yeah. Yeah.
Next question comes from Capolo, who asks, which personality in the video game industry would you like to bring on as the first guest to the podcast for an interview?
I mean, if we got to choose anyone? And they were like, yeah, Fresh Juice, I'll be on there. I don't know. I actually, because I listen to occasionally, I don't listen to a lot of podcasts these days, but Kind of Funny. They have Greg Miller over there, who is just like, he's been through so much in like the gaming industry and also just like on, you know, the podcasting journalism side. I would love to have him on just to pick his brain, just to be like, hey, how we're starting in spare bedrooms. That's where you started. Like, can we talk about that? Like, what did you do to like really take it to the next level? Just really like pick his brain for that stuff. But if I had to choose like someone that I think we could get on the show, I think it would be great to have Rusty from Astro Duel 2 on the show.
That'd be sick.
Just pick his brain about maybe some future updates for Astro Duel and just tell him how much we love it. He was like a great interview at PAX. So I think he would totally be down to be on the show if we asked. So yeah, those are my choices.
Yeah.
Tom, what are you thinking?
Local Thunk would be huge.
Ooh, yeah.
Local Thunk would be really huge. And then, I mean, it would be a blast to talk to Northern Lion, to be honest.
yeah.
I don't know how that conversation would go. I'd almost be afraid to, right? I interview a lot of people on my other podcasts, and I don't really, I mean, like, I'll get a little bit nervous for some, but, like, not really. Like, it's pretty much, like, casual. But for whatever reason, I think, like, because I truly think Northern Lion is, like, on a different echelon of, like, you know, brains. Like, I don't, just not so much that he's like so smart, but like he just works differently than a lot of people. So it's just like, oh, I got to be on my A game. So yeah, like someone like that, Local Thunk, Northern Lion, even I forget the name of him, the guy who, oh God, I'm blanking on the name of the Metroidvania from like 10 plus years ago. The indie Metroidvania. Oh shit!
Super Meat Boy Fez. No.
No. Apparently that guy.
He's a developer.
Yeah. It was. Geez.
Hollow Knight.
Indie Metroidvania.
I'm gonna just list out some here. The Messenger. Axiom Verge. Okay.
I believe that was a solo dev. I'd love to interview him because that was like before indie games really could pop like they do now. Right?
Yeah, and Thomas that, Happ.
Thomas, yeah, Happ. Yep. Mm-hmm.
There you go. Yeah.
What's happening, Thomas? come on the show. So someone like that. That'd be a pretty cool interview.
Yeah. And yeah, that'd be awesome.
Finally, Bags asks, what is your favorite moment purchasing a game or console? For example, like a midnight release or getting a game / console as a kid?
Oh, man. Two come to mind here. One is another Gears of War related one, but me and Bags and another one of our buddies, I think it was just three of us, maybe it was four of us. We went to go get Gears of War 3 at midnight, and we were talking about this a little bit over the weekend. I was just like, I miss going to like midnight releases. Everything's digital now, you know? And like, it's great for convenience, but it's also just like, it was just something fun to do, fun to look forward to, you know, trying to plan, okay, when should we get there? You know, make sure we get in line early enough. And we all got like the Epic version, the most expensive version. I think it was like $150 of Gears 3. So we got like a big statue. I remember Bags in his first car has like a picture in the trunk of like all of our stuff like lined up there. It was just awesome. I still have the box too. And that was just a great time. The other one is on Christmas is when I got the Wii. Is that like, it was one of those like, oh, what's that behind the tree or whatever, you know, like, oh, like, you know, you think like, you know, you start moving on with your day and it's just all of a sudden just like, oh, there's like another gift and I like take it out. I'm like, it's a freaking Wii. Like, dude, it was awesome. Like getting the Wii and then, you know, contributing to the, what is that? At one point it was like the highest selling console ever. I think PlayStation 4 or 5 passed it, but the Switch too. Yeah. But that was cool contributing to that and just getting like a console that was like so different than anything else I had played, you know. That was awesome. So those are the two that kind of come to mind for me. But I mean, there's obviously so many good moments as well. But what about you, Tom? Anything pop into your mind for this one?
The original DS.
Ooh, yeah.
Because, like, I think a lot of people got it for Christmas that year, you probably included. And then we were all, like, hanging out and be like, let's Pictochat. And yeah. Then you just be, like, Pictochatting each other. And, like, it was just, like, a lot like the way, and this is why Nintendo is truly so great. They just create these new experiences in video games that, like, initially you'll be like, eh, I don't understand what they're doing here. And then you're just like, oh, okay. This is just so much fun. And the DS, I truly think, was one of those. I mean, without the DS, we don't have something like the Switch, to be honest, right? And the DS was just revolutionary. Two screens. Why do you need two screens? And then they were like, oh, we'll design games to use two screens. And then you're like, oh, how will some games use that? Like, what would Castlevania do? And then you play Castlevania, and you have to draw runes to trap bosses in the game. You're like, this is insane. Yeah. So, I mean, the DS was just like so hype. I mean, a lot of the handheld stuff was like pretty hype for me, but the original DS and even the DSi, I felt the DSi had like super slick design. Like it just was, I thought it had a better design than like the 3DS, to be honest, like aesthetically. But yeah, the original DS was like super hype.
Oh yeah, that was a great one. I that was another one I was debating on saying too, because yeah, that was, I remember being in my garage with bags, just playing, you know, just doing like stupid stuff, you know, Pictochat or even like was it the Mario Kart? You could, your friends could play it, even so, if you just owned it or something like that. Like that cool system as well, which is like still alive today with like some Switch games too, which is pretty sweet. But yeah, DS, and I always wanted like the DSi. I was always just like, that thing looks so cool. And then it just like, yeah, then like eventually 3DS came out and I was like, oh, I'll just get that one. Even though the 3D stuff was like a gimmick or whatever.
It was stupid.
it was dumb for sure. But yeah, I still have my 3DS, so probably should play it soon, I feel like, you know?
Why not?
Get a little pick Zelda that going.
Yeah. I know Bags was saying over the weekend he was playing Ocarina of Time on the DS.
Oh, yeah. Ago. Yeah.
Good times, man. But that's going to take it to us. Oh, my God. Take us to the end of the show. It's been a long weekend, folks. My arm, I can't even lift it. It's crazy. But before the end of the show, we have to take you down to a little room we like to call the Rec Room, where we recommend something that perhaps isn't an indie game. Or it is, like what I'm going to recommend. I'm recommending Knock on the Coffin Lid. It is a new deck builder roguelike, very Slay the Spire-y, but also brings a lot more RPG and kind of, I guess, adventure elements to it, which is pretty neat. Played a little bit last night, but I was passing out. But like from what I played so far, I played through like the first two bosses. Very, very cool. Not quite Slay the Spire, but I definitely would check it out if you're into the deck builder roguelikes.
Yeah. Were you playing that on PC or mobile? PC. Okay, cool. Yeah. Cool. Nice. Yeah, and I'm reckoning the, it's called Cool Tunes. So it's something we use this weekend, which I've been using occasionally. I got it as a gift from my sister-in-law last year, and I always just forget I have it, to be honest. But basically, for those of you familiar with like the older kind of igloo kind of coolers that sort of have like this button that you can hit and you kind of slide the top either forward or backwards and get in the cooler. It's that plus a Bluetooth speaker. It's got these two speakers on the front. And it's just like, I don't know, just, I think it worked pretty well this weekend. You know, you've got drinks in there, we've got music playing and it's pretty cool, you know, a cool tune. So, yeah, I don't know. It's just something that, I just think is a really cool combo and I didn't even know existed, to be honest. So yeah, I'm shout out to Cool Tunes. That's K-O-O-L for cool. Go check it out if you're looking for a new cooler and or a new Bluetooth speaker. It's both in one. There you go. Sponsored by Igloo.
Shout out Cool Tunes. And that's going to do it, folks. You can continue to find me on Twitter at FreshBudsPod. I have another podcast called Fresh and Buds, where I interview people from the Flesh and Blood community, a trading card game that is indie, after all. And you can continue to find us on Fresh Juice Pod, or at Fresh Juice Pod, on all socials. And please like, comment, subscribe, all that fun stuff. And Matthew, where can they find you?
Find me at Matty Gorm, G-O-R-M, on all the socials. Been away from YouTube and the Twitch world for a bit, so going to hopefully get back into that later in the week. And hopefully I'll see you pop into a stream or on a video or something like that. But yeah, that's where you can find me. Tommy, another great ep in the books. Under an hour, this one. We flew by this one, baby. We got this one out. Yeah,
we're flying. We're soaring. We're flying. Well, we can wait for 5 minutes. You want to wait for 5 minutes?
Yeah. Yeah, let's just hang out. Yeah, listeners can do the rest of the episode for us.
Yeah.
So feel free to say your rec room now.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that. All right. Stay juicy, freshy. Bye-bye.